praising God for tomorrow. And why? Because He took care of our sin today. Amen. And we always have plenty to praise Him for when it comes to tomorrow. And we talked about being approved and disapproved workers. We know that an approved worker is one that studies the Word of God, because that's where we get our approval from. We understand the Word of God and we live in the Word of God. And that is where how we become that approved worker. We're not just magically somehow or instantaneously, the day that we accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're not an approved worker. Of course, we do have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Our salvation is sealed in the Lord, but to be that approved worker, we have to spend time with the Lord and to study His Word and understand His Word. I think that many times one of the greatest hindrances that people have to reaching out and witnessing to other people is they don't know enough of Scripture. They're afraid that someone's going to ask them a question they can't answer. And I think for the Christian, that's really kind of a sad state of affairs, because most of us have had this book in front of us since we were young children. And though, even though we didn't as adults, it's really not that big. But it does require studying, because there's so much there. Never has so much ever been put in so few pages as in the Word of God. And that is a testament to our God and His awesomeness and what He does. This morning I'm going to continue. What is this morning's message title? Anybody remember? See it? Okay, we're thanking Him for tomorrow. Today I want to talk about a fresh start. A fresh start. Isn't that a great thing to think about? Especially when you're really old, right? Huh? You ever think of having a fresh start when you're like not that young anymore? But you can't have a fresh start. Every day of your life can be a fresh start. But I'm talking more about a fresh start when we finally come to that realization is, you know what? I have to take all this stuff that has been beside me. I have to take all this stuff that I've been dwelling on, all this stuff that has been holding me back, all this stuff that has been holding me down, and I just need a fresh start. I was watching a crime show the other night, a true crime show. I was up late at night watching the show. And this couple had, somebody had decided they were going to steal their yacht. And it was a couple that decided they were going to retire out of the water and do all this stuff. Well, someone had decided they were going to steal it, so they made an excuse for them to take them a cruise out and look at the water and blah, 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 blah. And they thought they knew these people. Well, they got them out there, and they overpowered them. They handcuffed them together. They threw an anchor around their ankles, and they tossed them overboard. And those people, I bet they wished as they were going down, they could get that one fresh start. You know, but once that anchor's pulling you to the bottom, they weren't going to get a fresh start. But unlike them, you all can have a fresh start, right? And it can start today. It really can. I'm going to read this morning in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. You know that last week we're in chapter 2. And I got just about, I think, to chapter 3. But I'm in chapter 3 this morning of 2 Timothy. By this, know that in the last days, perilous times will come. Remember, last days began when? Anybody want to volunteer that? When the last days began? 1948. Well, those would be the latter last days. But I mean, the last days actually began when Jesus ascended. Right?
Is that the same matter you sin with sin, he'll come back.
Huh?
In that same matter you seen him ascend,
then he'll be back.
And they're looking for him ever since.
Yeah, I understand the 1948 reference too. For men will be lovers of themselves, and trust me, this has been going on long before 1948, right? The men being lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Boy, that just sounds like an ugly bunch to be hanging around, doesn't it? Huh? But you know, the sad thing is, I think that we can take elements of each one of those and probably find them in our own lives at times. And we can certainly find it in the world around us in plenty. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, this headstrong one is one that really just, when I really think about that, we live in such a headstrong time where people say, I really don't care what the Bible says. This is how I feel. Or I don't care where the pastor's leading the church. This is how I think it needs to go, and this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what the direction is of ministry. I feel I want to do it this way. We live in a very headstrong time. And we have a God that calls us into unity, and unity in Him, and unity in the Word of God. Folks, I got to tell you, there is no room for headstrong. If we're going to start anew, if we're going to start fresh, no matter what it is, whether it's in the gospel of the church, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in outreach, whether it's a vision of the church, whatever it is, we have to come together in unity. There is no room for headstrong, and I'm going to be the one out here to bust the system, because after all, the Bible doesn't specifically say that we have to do this, that, and the other. And you're right, it doesn't. But some things we do because they're prudent. And the Bible lets us know that they're prudent. And unity is a huge one. But unity in the right way. And we'll get into that in a minute. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, I can put that out there and I can ask you this question. Are you a lover of pleasure or are you a lover of God? And you know what? You're the one that's got to answer that question, not me. But if you make an honest evaluation of assessment of yourself, you're going to be able to come to the truth of that answer. And I don't want to know what it is, because that was between you and God. But I can promise you one thing, that if you put God before being a lover of pleasure, you're going to have more pleasure in your life. Isn't that ironic? We surrender to God's desires, we have more pleasure in our life. Then if we surrender to pleasure, thinking we're going to have pleasure, see, folks, guess what? Our God is brilliant, and He worked that one out ahead of time. And you can't change it. No matter how much you desire it, you can't change it. God says, me first, and I'll give you pleasure, not you first, and keep the pleasure. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. It's only for a season. You ever notice a lot of things in Scripture are just for a season? Wow, I don't want that season. I want life. And I want all of it. From beginning to end and through eternity. Can I ask you a question out there? You don't have to answer this, but think about it. Have you ever done something that you thought was just for a season, but you're still packing that baggage from it? Some pleasure just for a season. And it can be a short season. But you're still carrying baggage from it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And then what does it say? And from such people turn away. I have to address this whole unity in the world thing at this moment. We're called to have unity within the church. We are not called to be unified with the world. Period. Do you understand that? We're called to love the world. We're called to reach out to the world. We're not called to be unified under the same principles and values of the world. Because what the world does, the world has a form of godliness. Oh, this is so right. Don't we look good? We're going to do this so that we look good and we feel good and we do these things. And that could be considered godly, right? Isn't it godly to show love and be kind? And that's the world's forms of godliness, but they deny the power of God. See, if you believe and you follow the power of God, you follow God. You cannot say that I follow God and follow the world at the same time. They are diametrically opposed to one another completely. So please, young people, I know that you're being taught today in many circles, and unfortunately, I might say even in quote-unquote Christian circles that you can, but you can't, and if anybody was teaching the Word of God that was worth their salt, they would tell you that. You cannot serve two masters. For such, and this is one that some people reading on face value, they might stumble a little bit because it sounds like it's being kind of derogatory to women. But let me explain this passage. And this is one of those passages, you better make sure you explain it right, because somebody's going to walk away in a tussie if you don't. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Wow, what did that sound like? It sounds like, on face value, that what it's saying is, these are the kind of people that go into the house of these gullible women that are loaded down with lusts, and they carry them away into whore. And these women must not be very bright after all, right? And that's the way someone might, boy, the Bible's so mean. Let me explain this passage just a little bit. These are false teachers. This is what we're talking about, are false teachers. And if you notice in the next verse, it says, in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs was also. These two men that are mentioned here opposed Moses, and don't be fooled here. These weren't guys just that were good men that loved God and bringing a little different message. These were men that were involved in the occult. These were men that were just plain wicked and bad. And God is comparing here. Paul is comparing to young Timothy here that these kind of people that creep in are of that type. They're evil. They're wicked. They're not of God. And they're bringing a false message. Now, what's this part about them creeping into gullible women's houses? Okay? First of all, we have to understand that aren't we all a little gullible sometimes? See, the reason that they're gullible here is because they're believing a false message. They're buying into a false message. But then what does it say here about, it says they creep into households and make captives of the gullible women loaded down with sin. So what are we talking about, okay? Now I'm going to get to why women are mentioned here in a minute, and why it's specifically mentioning women. They're loaded down with sins. How many women running households today, and most women are running households today, and I'm not sure, you know, that they do. Their mom, right? Their mom to however many kids they birthed, and sometimes some kids from, you know, other marriages, but they also have this one child, and that would be their spouse, their husband. That's the other child that we didn't mention. But the women are running the household. But even of those women, as many as are out there, they are burdened down with sin. Maybe sin they're carrying. Maybe things they don't understand. Maybe things they've never been able to totally give to the Lord. Maybe something they've done in their youth they just can't shake. They're burdened down with it. Something that's happened to them. Something they can't reconcile. Something they carry guilt about. Something they don't understand by the way they were treated by a father or a family or a church or anyone else. But these are sins that they're loaded down with. It doesn't mean that they're out there doing all these lewd, crazy things that someone might think when they first look at this passage. There are things they're loaded down with that are sin. And they carry them as a burden in their life. They keep them from moving forward. So now you got these gullible creeps come in, and what do? They lead them astray with false doctrine. They give them false hope. Folks, they're all over the place. Just do this and you'll feel better. Just do that and you'll feel better. If you do this, that, and the other, then you can feel better about yourself. Right? Right? The good old Norman Vincent Peale message. Do any of you remember who he was? Huh? He wrote a book long time ago. Maybe 60s, probably. Maybe 70s. I don't know. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking. Remember that? Positive thinking's great, but it doesn't replace God. It doesn't replace what we're supposed to do in the Lord, that surrender to Him. But that was one in the 60s and 70s that so many women bought into, and even in the church. I can positively think my way through this thing, and I'll be okay. And they bought into it. A lot of televangelists of the time, I remember, had Norman Vincent Peale speaking from their pulpits about this wonderful new plan. How about the fact if we just do this, we're okay? How about the fact if I can just get baptized, I'll be fine? And that's all I need to do, and I can go live on with my life and do whatever I want. How about if I just decide that stuff that I'm carrying as guilt wasn't really sin anyway? It's just those old straight-laced fundamentalists have told us it was sin, and it really wasn't. Wow, now you really got a burden to carry because you're believing something false. You see what I mean? And all these false teachers out there telling us things like, you can do it. I think that most of the churches should probably today have a Nike swoosh on their sign that just do it. That's all you got to do. Not true, is it? Or don't worry about it. It's all good. It's all about how you feel. You don't have to worry about sin. The Bible, they're just interpreting the Bible wrong. Those were old times. Folks, this book is more relevant today than the day it was written. That's not true, is it? I was just a false teacher. It's equally as relevant because it never changes. It's not more relevant. It's equally as relevant. It always will be. So why women? Why are we picking on women here? Because we're not. He's telling the truth. For of this sort, now remember that these people in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, they came across as godliness. They'll stand up in a pulpit and say, oh, gracious God Almighty. And they'll sound so great, they're full of filthy sin up to their necks. Or they'll be so loving and kind and be up to their neck in sin. And so accepting and so loving and up to their neck in sin. Having a form of godliness, but denying His power. And let me tell you something. When you deny what this book says and what God says about it and what He can do, that is denying God's power, and that's a scary place to be. Because these guys just got compared to sorcerers from Moses' time, and I guarantee you're not going to see them in glory. Denying His power, from such of these people, stay away. Basically, it says, sprint, man. Get away from them. Run. Don't embrace them. Don't say, you know what? I know he's not teaching the truth all the time, but boy, what a nice guy he is. Have you seen him around my children, how good he is? Have you seen how involved he or she is in the community and how fun they are? Makes me want to puke. They're laden down with sin, but boy, do they look nice. And you wonder why we're called silly? The Bible speaks for itself. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives. I want you to catch a word right there that said, that make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Okay. So you got these ladies, and they're heading their household. They're leading their household. They're raising their children. They're usually the ones that are going to make sure whether their kids come to Sunday school or not. They're guiding and directing their husband each and every day so he knows what color shoes and socks to put on. And now a number of other different things. But they're running their household. But at the same time, while they're putting on this pretty face, running their household, and doing everything that they should, and this brave face and this brave front, they're also carrying these heavy burdens. From either things present or things past, but they're things they're hanging on to. And then come along these crooked, I won't go in there, but you can let me finish. You can guess what I'm going to say. These rotten, false prophets come in and say, hey, don't worry about doing anything with that stuff. Let's just mask it over with some whipped cream and strawberries. And everything will be pretty. And what happens is it doesn't go away and it festers inside. And then it says, they're made captive by it. It's captivated them. Pastor, why in the world do I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ when this guy says I really don't have to even worry about this stuff? I got to bring up again what Phil said about that guy that he was talking to. And they were talking to about accepting Christ and having Christ in his life. And Phil comes right out and asks him, says, have you ever repented of your sin to the Lord? And the guy said, why would I need to do that? Folks, that's more common today than you would know. I haven't done anything wrong. I've run a good life. What kind of a God would not take me to heaven? I'm beautiful. I help people. I'm nice. Do you know why people believe that today? Because of these false creeps that have snuck into the households and told them that. Let's go on. Loaded down with sin and led away by various lusts. Don't deal with those lusts and those problems in your life. You don't have to deal with them. Just don't worry about them. So here, let me explain to you why it is that the women are mentioned here. And I think you may have figured it out at this point. If the woman's running the household, and the woman's bringing the kids to church, and the woman's directing her husband a good bit of the time, and it's a woman that has to sit down with her husband and talk about these things and discuss the life of their family and where they're going and what's going on. If these creeps can get into the house and keep her from coming to a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, he's got the whole household. That's why the women are mentioned here. Satan knows full well if I can win the women, I can win the house. And I'm not talking about women just bowing down to Satan. That's not what I'm talking about. It says here that they're led away. They're being led away by false teachers. And they're all over the place. I see them every day. I see them in our pulpits all the time. I see them on TV. I see people coming to me and saying, Pastor, would you read this book? And I read the book and I want to burn it. Real fast. There's a book a few years ago that, oh, everyone just ranting and raving about it. And all these ladies were posting stuff about it. It was called The Shack. It was the biggest bunch of blasphemy I've ever read in my life. And it was being held up as this great Christian book. There was nothing Christian about that book. It belittled God. Brought God down to man's level rather than man going to God's level. If you read between the lines, you realize that. But that's exactly what it did. And it's out there all the time. So, Pastor, you're talking about starting fresh, starting anew. What part of this is starting fresh and starting anew? Let me tell you. It's saying right now in your life, I'm not going to follow that garbage anymore. I don't want to listen to one person out there anymore that is going to make excuse for the things that I haven't come to grips with and terms with my Lord and Savior. If I haven't come to terms with it, with my Lord and Savior, recognized it, given it to the Lord, and surrendered it, I don't want anyone out there telling me that it's all okay and I don't need to. Because if I have hope for a new life tomorrow, and if my family has hope for a new life tomorrow, I need to get on my knees, put it behind me, surrender to the Lord, and start anew. And start anew. Why are we making excuses? They're out there every day. Any excuse that we can make today why we don't need to be in church, we're not in church. It's the truth. Oh, pastor, they quit having Sunday night services 20 years ago. They did. Why did they? Because we got busy on Sunday doing what the world wanted us to do. That's the bottom line. I'm not saying anyone's staying home being worldly. I'm saying that it was just, hey, we don't need that. Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That would be what would be prudent with me, to meet with other believers and to be there and learn the Word of God and take that opportunity on a Sunday to grow more and teach more and lead more. But you know what the world said? We don't need to do that anymore. We need to come together in big venues, and what we need to do is have one big service where everybody's happy and everybody's clapping, and that's all we need for the week. And they creeped into their houses and they led them away. It's tough. Let me tell you something, folks. It's tough being a pastor today. Because I see everybody. And I know everyone. And I see what's leading you away. And I can't just interject myself and go knock on your door and drag you out and scold you. I wouldn't do it anyway. That's God's job. But are we listening to God? Do you really want what you say you do? I have to ask that question. Do we really want it? Do we really want that life with Christ? Do we really want to know joy in our life? Do we really want a better life? Do we really want to take all that stuff that's bottled up and down here somewhere that has been pulling us down? Do we really want to get rid of it? Or do we feel that it's just so hard we're not going to try and we're going to use everything else in the earth to mask it so it just doesn't bother us as much? My Heavenly Father sent His Son to die on this earth so that garbage, you could get rid of it. And you could put it behind you. There is no reason that anyone in this church needs to be carrying a load of guilt and sin in their life. None of you. Give it to Jesus. Put it at the foot of the cross. Lord, I know You died on the cross for my sins, but this one's just a little too big for You and I got to carry it a while. He says, in other words, what You're telling me is that my death on the cross wasn't good enough for all. You got to carry this sin. Let go of it. If someone's hurt you in your life, that's on them. And that's on them and their God. And maybe that person's not even here anymore, but it's really between them and their God now. There's nothing you can do about it. There is nothing you can do about it. The only thing that you can do is to give it to Jesus. And say, Lord, I know You got a great plan for me and my life and my family tomorrow. Lead me. Lead me in Your path and Your righteousness. And Lord, please don't let me make the same mistakes that my family have made, that my fathers have made, that my mothers have made, that I have made. Don't let me go down those same roads making those same things, those same sins over and over again that are generational, that hang on, that cause issues. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something you don't know about. You all do. God promises us so much. And we just got to reach out and take it. See, the thing is, if I see 75, 80 people sitting in front of me, and every one of them desires to give their life to the Lord and put their past behind them, I'm going to see a bunch of people that are getting ready to really get on fire for the Lord. and be excited about it. Don't you want to be excited about life? I hear everyone talking about how all these new ventures they're going to get into and how excited it is. Guess what we're going to do? One time I like to see someone honestly from their heart say, "Pastor, guess what we've decided to do? We're going to recommit our family to Jesus Christ and be excited about it." I don't hear that. Matter of fact, on a constant basis, I don't think I've ever heard it. I hear a lot of, "Pastor, we need to get back into A, B, or C." But you know, this kind of gets in the way and that gets in the way. Quit calling it this and that. It's got one word. It's called Satan. That's what gets in the way. It's a fact. I want to tell you something today. If you have a desire in your heart and your life to spend the time that you need with the Lord and with other believers, and you earnestly pray to the Lord, "Lord, this is one of the greatest desires I have, to grow with other believers and disciple people and to mentor our young." I was looking through some of our deacon notes from 2 years ago. One of the things brought up in a deacon's meeting, we're needing to mentor our young teens. How far are we gone? It was the men that said it. How far are we gone with that? But I want to tell you something. If that's earnestly what's in your heart, that you give it to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what I want to do, because this is what you've called me to do, and I know the best place I can be is in your presence and other believers in your presence and with them." You don't think he's not going to open the door for that to happen? You know why? Because his very word says that's where he wants you to be. God doesn't lie. Folks, I got to tell you, I've seen some exciting things lately, just out of this little body of people. I've seen the sidewalks full of people talking and sharing and loving. I've seen people on the street talking. I've seen them in town. I've seen things happening all over the place. And it's exciting. Why don't you want to be part of something exciting? I don't know. Why do we want to be pulled away? Because something out here looks like it might be better down the road. I'm going to plan for this because, oh, we've always wanted to do that. I pray that you've always wanted to be close to Jesus Christ and to be a profitable worker for the kingdom. Because whether you know it or not, that's what you were designed to be. And you can't change your design any more than a dog can become a cat. If you're a believer, you were designed to teach, to lead, to love, to disciple, and reach people for Christ. And if your main goal in life is anything other than that, you're missing the mark. And the truth is, as you do that, and as you accept that, and as you accept that responsibility, all these other desires that you might want to scoot around and put in front of that, God's going to open the door for those anyway, as he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to enjoy your life too, because I gave you these things that you like for pleasure, because they are good things. And I've given you the desires of your heart. But you know what, Christian? I want you to put me first, and then I'll show these to you." Ten to one, if I took 20 Christians aside and I said, "What are your plans in the next 2 years? What are your plans?" Every one of them would involve their worldly existence and life and not have anything to do with what God has called us to do. "Well, we'd like to do this. We'd like to go here. We'd like to go there. We'd like to get involved in this. Our kids are getting the age to do this now in the world." I'll just close with this little story. A friend of mine, David Wheeler, I love David. Unfortunately, guys, for you, a lot of the stuff that you get up here probably came from some seeds planted by David Wheeler way long time ago in some classes. David was totally on fire for the Lord. He pulled no punches. He'd been through some serious stuff between the health of his wife. His wife has the same disease that Mike has, that autoimmune thing, you know. And they had this little, when they first found out, she was pregnant and she had this little baby, and all of a sudden she just got deathly sick. Her immune system went south. They're in the hospital. She's only like 6 months pregnant, maybe not quite that far. And they said, you know, this baby's going to come one way or the other. She's really sick. The baby's not well. And the baby came, and a beautiful little girl. Of course, she ended up with cerebral palsy, but still a very sweet, loving, wonderful little girl. But anyway, David was one of these guys that was, he was a bodybuilder. He was into real heavy into sports and coaching. And he said he was always the guy on the sideline that was screaming the loudest and getting the maddest and yelling at the ump and just horrible testimony for being a man of God. Horrible testimony. When God laid on his life the importance of what was important, he said, you realize how many people I had to come back and apologize to? And he said, we're not going to have these church ball teams anymore either. We're going to join the local leagues, and we're going to be a witness to people, a true witness. He started having block parties just to witness to people and going door to door, and he taught his kids that way. And he says, and later on he said, you know, even his little girl, his little girl gave a wonderful testimony one year that I heard. Their kids were brought up to know the importance of people knowing Jesus. And they witnessed, and they loved people, and they were out there, and they were doing it. And people were loving them, and the ministry was growing, and people, and all these things were growing. And he put all that stuff aside because he decided one day, I've got to put God first. I've got to put ministry first. I've got to put, do I want to see my neighbor actually die and go to hell? Well, who's going to tell him if I don't? No, Pastor, don't give me that garbage. I just want to sit over here with my little pile of sin that someone told me is okay, and I don't have to worry about it if I don't listen to you, and it'll all be good. No, that's not the way it is. It's you take it right now, you put it at the feet of Jesus, say, I'm done with it. I'm done carrying the guilt. I'm done making excuses why I'm not with the body of Christ. Jesus, I want whatever it is you have for me, and give it to me in gallons. Because I know that if I do it, you'll prepare me for it, and you're not going to leave me out there hanging. And my life is going to be amazing because you said so. Yes, these are the things weighing on your pastor lately. And it's been tough. And it's getting kind of hard because my kids and my wife keep asking me, what's wrong? And I got to tell you, this is what's wrong. I love all of you. But God's got better for you. God's got better for this world. This world isn't going to change until you grasp that. Until I grasp that more each and every day. Guys, God's not calling us to a life of boredom. God's not calling us to a life of, oh, you mean I got to do that church thing? God's calling you to a life of greatness. I wish you'd understand. I don't understand why people don't want to come on Wednesday night and pray together and have Bible study. Oh, I've got this project. Oh, come on, I've been watching. You haven't worked on that project in 3 months. I'm not dogging anybody. I'm just asking us to take a shot of reality at ourselves, because God's got so much planned for you. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. But the thing I want you to pray about me is, I don't know how much longer I can watch it. And I really don't. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day as your love and all you've given us. Lord, I pray for true surrender to you. Lord, lately we have a baptism tank that hasn't been used much. We got an altar. I don't see any worn spots from knees. And we got a pastor that's struggling right now. Lord, I lift all these things to you. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, let us follow you and what you would have us to do. Lord, let us not take the easy route where Janice and Jambres reside and their ilk. But Lord, we would bow our hearts to you and surrender to you. We ask this in your name. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for our tithes and offerings and all you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you've provided what's been in our building fund, and man, have we been burning through it. But Lord, I pray that that increase, and Lord, we continually give to that so that we can be good stewards of this property that you've given us. Not that we can make it beautiful and fancy, but we can make it worthwhile and working. Lord, let us reach more people for you each and every day. We thank you for this day and your love. This morning, as we sing, yes.
I apologize for my phone.
Oh. It's right. It's usually my coughing or my belly. So don't worry about it. You're all good. It's fine. This morning, as we close, if anybody needs to come to the altar, I encourage you to. Maybe you've been needing to get baptized for a long time, but just haven't stepped up to do it. Maybe you need to recommit your family and your life to Christ. I encourage you this during this time to sing.
You'll open your hymnals to page 638. Page 638.